Gil, you know where to find us, right?
Mm-hmm. On Himalaya.
Himalaya, our friends. Because the podcast world is growing bigger every day, Himalaya wants to help navigate it. It's the brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and some future favorites, whether you're a podcaster or a fan. Himalaya has your back. They have our back.
Mm-hmm.
Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcaster some love with Himalaya's tip jar. It's free. It's the easiest to use app, and they're adding cool new features every day. They added a Nocho podcast.
Yes,
so we know they're cool. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya. It's Himalaya. Don't forget to follow the Nocho podcast. But you should be already.
Already. You should have that memorized by now.
It's different scripts.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how it works on
they keep tricking
on the script side. Yeah, they keep
gotcha,
us fresh.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Flipping the script on
Yeah, I see. Okay, Himalaya.
On this episode of the Nocho podcast, get on board to experience the ride that it is to be an NBA player. We're joined by Michael Carter Williams, whose basketball journey is a truly unique one. After being selected 11th overall by the Sixers, Michael had a breakout first season and was named Rookie of the Year. You would think things could only blossom from there. He tells us just how it can change in the blink of an eye. Trusting the process doesn't work out for every player, and beyond ability, it comes down to fit, timing, and opportunity. Things like rebuilds, salary caps, and injuries are all factors that most players don't have on their radar when they're going out and competing every night. Gil also points out that you have to expect those changes at all times. That's the constant. Also, when you're in the middle of it, it takes a singular focus. It's the Nocho podcast. Buckle up for another episode. Remember, you can get us early on the Himalaya app. Download and subscribe today. You can also get us anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Nocho channel on YouTube. I guess we have Michael Carter Williams here with us today. You want to know how he got on?
Yeah.
But so we were in the gym at Mamba Academy, Sports Academy, actually.
Uh-huh.
He was just working out. One thing leads to another. We're talking about podcasting. Boom, he knew about the Nocho podcast.
Where was I?
Come on. Good question.
That's where I was looking for. That's where I was looking for.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, you were. Were you on vacation still?
I was in Hawaii? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, somewhere around that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. How was vacation?
It was fun.
Okay, you're back on the... So what Gil did was we record an episode with Cube, drops the bomb that he's coming to the big three, gone to Hawaii.
Yeah, it was a Valentine's vacation.
Okay.
So sucks.
But now you're back to work. You're back on the grind.
Back to work.
Back on the grind.
And Michael's on the grind too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it harder to work out when... you ain't part of a team?
You know, I was in Houston, right? And, you know, I was thinking, like, you know, I was the day I got released, whatever, and I was just like, you know, like, what do I do now? Like, I can't just go to the gym. Like, I gotta find connects of who got an open gym, whatever. But so I would, you know, make my way to gyms, and, you know, I came out here and I'm the same thing, you know, looking for gyms, going to the Mamba Sports Academy. So it's different for sure. It's like, at first, it's kind of, you know, relieving you, like, I don't have to go here every single day, work out the same people every single day. But then I got to a point where it's like, damn, I miss it. Like, I miss going to the gym, seeing everybody, you know, in there and seeing the same faces all the time and just working out, you know, with the guys. So it definitely is different.
Yeah, you know, you get babied. You know, before you make it to the NBA, finding gyms was easy, you know, calling up, yo, go to the gym, get a little trainer, boom, boom, boom. And then it's like you get to the NBA and it becomes so convenient for you that when you're not a part of it anymore, it's like, yo, who do I call? Like,
that's how the rest of us have to
do. What gyms is open now?
Right. I'm over here. The other day I signed up for LA Fitness. I'm like, look, there's a lot of LA Fitnesses everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, wherever I go, I know I can at least get some shots up, get a little lift or running or something. So, yeah, it definitely is, like you said, like, we do get, like, babied on the fact of, like, everything is so accessible.
Yeah, it was so funny. The year I got in trouble and I got banned from the gym, I didn't know what to do. Like, I had no idea how to work out, where to work out. I just gave up. I went to Miami and party and said, I'm going to wait till they lift it because I don't know nothing about gyms, you know, because it's not like DC had just like rec centers, and I wasn't going to just show up to a rec center. And if I did, I can't use the NBA trainers. So I just said, eh. And then that's when my leg, my knee went to shit.
But even if you're, if you call up somebody and say like, hey, I want to get to a gym, would they shut it down for you?
I don't know. You don't, you don't.
Yeah. It's,
but that's weird
and
too.
And it's also like, you just got, you know what I mean? I just got released. I'm going to call somebody like, hey, I don't have a gym to work. Oh, why don't you got a gym? And then I got to explain my situation. It's like, you know, sometimes I just want to get up and go to the gym.
But when, also when you're in this place, right? So you have more, let's say, downtime and more time to yourself. How do you think you should spend that downtime as far as like thinking of your next move, where you want to go in your career? You can't just wait for the phone to ring, right? Or are you?
I think it's like, for me right now, it's a little bit of both, right? Like, when I first, you know, when it first happened, I think I was in panic mode. You know, what am I going to do next? Like, you know, what's my next move, whatever. And then as days went by, I got to a place to where it's like, okay, if I'm keep calling my agent constantly, I know if he calls me, that means something, you know, he's not going to call me for no reason. Like if he calls me, then that means something happened. I can't force, you know, me being on a team or whatever. So I think I got to a place where I was, like, I'm just going to dive into, you know, myself a little bit and something that I really couldn't, you know, really could never do. You know, I'm always, when you're in the NBA, you're always thinking about, you know, what does this coach think of me? Especially when you're fighting for something, right? Like, you're fighting for playing time. So what can I do to play more? You know, like, what is this dude doing? What is this guy doing? What, you know what I mean? You get so caught up in the whole NBA life that, like, when I, now that I've been out of it for, you know, a month, whatever, I've realized that, like, If I dive into me and just really, you know, all coaches say, oh, control what you can control. Control what you can control. You hear it 1,000 times. People who don't play, that's all they hear. Stay ready and control what you can control. Those are the two things you always hear. But then once you really, like, kind of grasp that concept and understand, you know, to your own, whatever that means to you, you can, you know, kind of let all the other stuff,
yeah,
though.
I mean, that helps for your sanity or to handle stress, I guess, because you're like, I can't dwell on this thing. I'm, you know, like, is it control what you control? But when you just want to play or you want to be given a shot or a look or be in the right place, it takes more than just that, right?
You know, it's so funny. People don't understand, and it's starting, I see it a lot now in high school, and they don't understand how it affects them in an NBA, and you're a product of that. So, right now, a lot of kids are being held back 2 years, 1 year. And then, you know, they go to college. By the time they enter the NBA, you know, they're 21, 22, right, as rookies. You know, as a 22-year-old rookie, you know, he wins rookie of the year. You know, in that same rookie of the year moment, his team is looking to trade him. Like, you know, we want to go younger. You know, and it's – and I always tell kids, like, listen – try to get in the NBA as young as you can, because for some reason they grasp younger kids better because they can see a higher ceiling. You know, because when I came into the draft, that's when all the high school kids was coming in. You know, but, you know, I was only 18, 19 too, so it didn't really affect me. But that's when, like, all the, you know, Kwame Brown, you know, Tyson, Jop Diop, all of these kids was coming in, you know, and it was a young kid's draft. You know, I think the first point guard was like some kid out of Italy or something named Raul Lopez. I've never heard of him. And then, you know, Tony Parker and Tinsley, those were my group. We're all late first round, second round picks, you know, and we're young still. And I don't think, you know, that people really understand that the NBA cares more about age than actual talent. Because if you tell me that I can win rookie of the year and then I'm damn near on a bubble, you know, the next year getting traded for someone younger, that, like, I would say, get the fuck out of here. Like, I would say that shit early.
But it's also timing, right? So when you were in Philly, after your rookie of the year season, then things weren't going well in Philly and they were in tank mode, right? That's when you're in the middle of the process.
Yeah, right. Like Gil said, like, I had no idea, like, what was, like, I thought if somebody asked me, are you on the trade block getting traded, I'll look at them stupid. Like, I just won rookie of the year. Why would you ask me if I, you know, I'm on the trade blocks? So, And then like the next year, it's not like I came out and I was playing horrible. No, it's like a misconception that like after my rookie year, I've done terrible, which is not true. You know, I was still averaging 14, 6, mm-hmm. and 6 as my second year in Philly. You know, there, we just in tank mode, we are losing. You know, I had new teammates every single week. You know, we'd get in some sort of rhythm, whether that's us losing by one instead of 20 or winning a couple games. And, you know, guys would get traded and, you know, I'd have, you know, new teammates. And so when I got traded, like I had no answers. Like I was like, I had no idea. And it was kind of like it just shocked me so much that like, I didn't know, like from that moment on, it was like, I don't know what I can do in this league, especially me being winning rookie of the year and then, you know, being okay my second year. And I'm still, this is only my first 1 year and a half in the league. So it's like now it's like, damn, what do I got to do to not get traded? Or, you know, that's where my mind was at that time.
Yeah, and it's so hard because no one tells you that you're not competing. Like I seen last year, and I said, you know, I said it. I said, as much as they're going to talk about Donovan Mitchell now, they're not even going to mention him next year because he's no longer a sophomore. You're 22. You're with the rest of the 22-year-olds now. You know, that's you're with Greek the Freak. You're with all these guys. You're not some. You know, you're not with Ball. You know, you're not with Dennis Smith Jr. and, you know, Fox. Those guys are 18 years old. They're on a whole nother, you know, level of, you know, in this sport. So if no one tells you that as a young kid, how are you supposed to, you know, prepare, you know, for, you know, something like this? And I tell kids, I said, listen, if you're older, you better fucking put that work in and try to dominate. You don't have no room. You know, when you come in at 22, 23, you went to school for 3-4 years, you don't have room, you know, for failure or room to like baby step anything.
You need to have an immediate impact, you gotta come and
impact 20, 25. Like you gotta come out of the gates really strong. But nobody fucking tells you.
You know. That's also a tough thing when you did get traded, you know, not to mention what that does for your confidence.
Right.
You can have all the confidence in the world, but it's going to set you anybody back.
Right. And then it's like, you know, things, you know, you get traded to a team, things get better. But when you first go there, it's like teams look at you, you know, no matter who you are, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? The last guy was still there. They still had a relationship with that last guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you getting all the eyes like, you know, what's going on? Like. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're here, but not really because I miss my mans who just got traded. So it's like nothing is easy mm-hmm. like when that happens. And it's just – and nobody looks at like outside the court. Like we all have family like that we got to get up, move. Like that's not easy for any of them. Like they're in a situation where your life is so dominant and your life is so big and it takes everybody to help out. That like it's still stressful when you got to move places. Everybody has to move. It's not just you. Everybody. You know, so it affects more like than people actually think. You know, and especially somebody like myself. I've been traded. You know, I've been traded, not resigned. I go here. I go there. You know what I mean? It's definitely not. Everybody thinks it's easy because you live in the NBA world, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not as easy as people think it is. At least.
They look at the money. They right. say, oh, yeah, you got the money. You can just get up and go. And I'd be like, all right, imagine going to work today and then you get a call tomorrow saying your ass got to be in Alaska. But you're going to get a raise. Yeah, you're getting the money, but you're going to a place. You don't, wait, what?
I don't even know this place.
Like, I don't even know this place. I got to move my whole fucking family to Alaska now. Get the fuck out. And I said, that's how NBA trades happen. It's like, sometimes, like, I mean, NBA trades deadline used to be funny to us, you know, if you know you're not getting traded and you're like, you know, you hear all your friends bickering and stuff like, yeah, nigga, I can't wait to get traded. I need to be out of here anyway. And then they get traded and be mad as shit.
Every time. Yeah, every it happens to everybody. It's not the fact that, like, sometimes it's the fact that even if you want to leave, there's that little piece of you being like, damn. They gave up on me in a way. Like they wanted me out of here for somebody else. Even though I want to leave, it's the fact that you would willingly, you know, want me to leave.
Okay, so Gil, let's say this happens. How should you handle that in the sense of competition, right? So if I get traded and this team didn't want to keep me around, right? Don't you want to get back at that team?
Yeah, but you still got to be able to be put in a position to get back. You know, everyone's not put in a position. Like, you can be the man on your team and get put to another team, and then you have to try to, you know, sacrifice and let them know you cool. And, you know, you can't go in there trying to Allen Iverson the whole, you know, the whole team. You know, going in there and I'm going to shoot 30. Y'all going to shut the fuck up. You can't do that. You know, so you're trying to mend and trying to figure out who's who and what's what. You know, so you probably don't even get a chance to get back at your team until the following year. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully you're in a position where you are still dominant. And they got you in a, because, you know, you can be dominant, get traded to another team, and that coach don't even like you or play you the same style that you like.
Right. Yeah. Did you want to get back at Philly when you were there the first time?
Of course.
See?
Yeah, of course. Everyone does.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I can, you know, when I got traded from Philly, it was like, man, I can't wait till we play them again. And, you know, when I was in Milwaukee, we played them again. I think I had like 30 that night. Like, it felt so good to come
back.
Revenge
game.
Yeah, it felt so good to come back and perform like that. But after getting traded a few times, it's like, I started getting like, it wasn't only like a sports thing. It wasn't like when I play them, like, I want to bust their ass. It was like, I was like, had real anger towards, you know, everybody like over there. And it was like, all right, I gotta take a step back, because no matter, like, no, I know in this league, I could be back in Milwaukee in 2 days from now. I could be back in Philly. I could be back in Charlotte, Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, anything can happen. You know, I should know that, right? Being traded after winning Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. You know, anything can happen. So I try to, like, now I try to be like, okay, like, I still want to go out there and bust your ass, but, like, it's to a point. It's to a certain point where I'm like, I know at the end of the day it is a business.
Right, and coaches move all the time. Assistants get elevated. Players even can say, like, look, I like playing with that dude. Bring him here when they get to a place of power on a team. So it's those relationships that you have along the way. It makes sense, like, in the work world, right, it's how you have your network. So you don't want to ever burn a bridge.
Yeah.
But it's – and that's why, like NBA players, like, you know, when fans be like, man, NBA players, they're fake fighters. Yeah, we don't fight. We're not going to – we don't want to fight each other, because at the end of the day, we can be traded to that team. We're going to see this dude in the summer. So, you know, we're more together than people really think, because we can be traded, you know, throughout our careers with these same guys. So you can't really have real enemies. You know, you're Chris Paul and you're Rondos. That rarely happens. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is they might be teammates one day, and that's going to be hilarious. You know, but you rarely see shit like that, because, you know, we're the only sport that has mid-season trades. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you wait till the summer and you get to pick the team. So you can stay away from the guy that you really hate. You know, in sports, it's just hot trades ass over there.
Right.
And it's a small circle. There aren't nobody wants to.
I get in a fight with you. Now I got to see you every single day. We go on a plane together. Like, nobody wants to do that. And I think, like, that's one of the biggest things I hate when people say, oh, the NBA, new NBA is soft, this and that. Well, no one, Larry Bird and them is not getting fined all this money when they was fighting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the league is getting softer based on the rules that are applied mm-hmm. around the league. Like, it, to me, that's real simple, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one's getting suspended for 20 games back then. Like, it's not that the league is soft. Like, imagine DeAndre Jordan was as physical as one of them dudes, you know, people back then. He'll kill somebody. You know what I mean? Like Steven Adams. Like, there's big dudes in the NBA now, too, who, if we're physical, would be the same exact way.
Do we really watch basketball to see guys fight, though?
That's what I'm saying.
No. Fans, they want to see everyone fight for some reason.
We love the drama.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. People like drama.
I mean, we're bigger, stronger, faster. I mean, if they say we can't play, you can't play in the 80s, who is going to stop me? You're fucking 5'6", 155 pounds. What are you going to do?
These guys smoke cigarettes.
What are you going to do, wrestle me? Get out of here. Like, but that's the people who are sitting here arguing. Like, you're 6'4", 205. Get out of here, little dude. Like, they think their defense is because they get to clothesline you. Like, yo, I can hit you back. you know, I can
it's
really
not even basketball. Like,
you know, but that's what I said. I can hit you back. I'm stronger than you. You know, it's that's what this is. I'm actually stronger than you. So yeah, I can actually handle your error. But it's like, oh yeah, look at him flopping all around. And that's what the rules say I can do right. to get to the free throw line. I'm gonna do it.
So that's really what you do with a younger guy. Is like you know the rules and the landscape. It's rule. Right? They have to figure that out.
You adapt to your environment. Mm-hmm. Everyone adapts to their environment. You know, it's when we grew up playing basketball, we grew up on the streets playing, right? No blood, no foul. We all played wrestle basketball. We all played one on one, got in a fight with your friends, right. go to the store after. We all did it.
Everybody you know? Played 21. Don't let nobody get to 21.
Yeah, 20 to 19. That's an hour. That's an hour right there. That's
for sure.
When it gets close towards the end,
fighting, fouling. You know, so we know how to play. It's just when you got to this level, they want talent now. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want that basketball. That's why if you look at a certain group, that whole group, that four man, that strong four man that was about 6'8", you know, that just brute, that's why they all exited the league at the same time.
Right.
They wanted talented players.
And it also was image-based too, right? Mm-hmm. Like the NBA doesn't want to have an image of players fighting all the time. That's why we get fined so much. That's why you get suspended so long because they're trying to set that and really want a clean image of this is not, you're not going to sit here and watch to see a fight. You're going to sit here to watch.
And also, we want to see players play, right? Remember
right, exactly.
when Draymond got suspended in the finals? Like, it would have been a better finals if they had all their players playing, well, right?
Shouldn't have been kicking.
Well, yeah, he might have earned that one. But, like, even remember the Spurs Suns back in the day and players left the bench, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Spurs probably could have lost that series if the Suns had all their guys.
Yeah.
So we don't want to see guys suspended for riff-raff kind of reasons, you know? But I guess maybe if you kick somebody.
So what are you doing now? Like, what is your game plan now?
Right now, I'm just working out. You know, I'm working out, finding dudes to play. I'm just staying busy. Like, staying busy in the, like, I never had, like, this much time to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some reading. Like I'm doing everything that like I normally don't do, just to try to see like what life is like.
You're 27. Don't even worry about what life is.
No,
like
I know.
After.
Trust me.
You don't want to know.
No. I'm definitely more dived into basketball than I've been in a long time. And I feel like I've improved so much that I'm like. Itching to get back on the court, like on a team, not to like prove anything to anybody, because I just miss, you know, I miss playing. I miss just going out there and playing for me and with freedom and not trying to impress, you know, this person or this person, not trying to listen to this coach and this coach. Like, I think that there's advice you need to take from, you know, from people. And then also it's like, I've learned that I got to trust myself. And if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out how I, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing, I was fortunate to have, you know, coaches that really didn't, you know, penalize me for, you know, shit I did on the court, but I did me. You know, I remember when this is my second year, I'm averaging 18, 8, and 8, no triple doubles, right? And then I guess I was playing over what they can pay me. So they were trying to like reel it back in. So Coach Musselman, which is my guy, so what they'll do is they'll play me like 3 minutes, sub me out, 4 minutes, sub me out. So I couldn't catch a rhythm. So I went to him and said, you know what, fuck all this. I'm averaging 18, 8, and 8. I know one thing that I won't suffer, that's at 18. I'll stop passing the ball, I'll stop rebounding, but I'm gonna get my 18 points. And that's how I went. Everything was 1-4 flat. I said, until y'all started playing me normal, 1-4 flat every time I touched the ball. And that's just how I did. And that's just how I just came in, 1-4 flat. Like it's the tip ball, he called a play, 1-4 flat. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go until we start getting some normal time minutes. I play my 8-9 normal minutes. And then you sub me out, put me back in. If you're going to put me out in a 4 minute mark, I'm doing 1-4 flat until you take me out.
Right. And you know, my mindset, like, it's similar to way in that way, but it's a little different. Like, I don't have the luxury to come in on a team and be like 1-4 flat. But when I do get my opportunity out there and I do, like, listen, I got to, you know what I mean? I got to do me. Like, I got to do myself. Like, that's where I'm like, I'm going to be the best I've ever been in that area. Mm-hmm. So when I do go, and when it's like, you know, when it's my time to go, it's going to be productive so that nobody else can say anything to me. You know what I mean? And I don't have that much wiggle room. I got it. You know, I don't know how many chances I got left. I could have one chance left. I don't know. But I know once I get that one chance, it's the last chance I'm ever going to need, just because of how hard right now I'm trying to put the work in.
Yeah, you're part of the new guards, where they're rebounding and passing, you know. So it's like, you know, I was looking at your stats. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is what he averages as a rookie. Like, you know, you're same thing with your second year. You know, you're 6-7. I'm like, Jesus Christ, young kids is putting this shit up. Like, I didn't even think about passing a ball 7 times, let alone getting 7 assists. Like, it was just, you know, I came from an era where it was just, I'm just here to destroy. I don't, you know, and it's, you know, but with a game like that, is it hard to be impactful in short moments? You know, when you're more of a game filler.
It is hard. And it's something that I'm still trying to adjust to, because I do like to feel the game and pass and get people involved. And during those short minutes, I it's impossible for somebody to do that. So it's like, what can I do? I got to change. That's not going to change for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go in on a team and I'm going to get 10 minutes in a row. It's just not happening. So I got to change my game to where it's now, like you said, like, your whole mindset was, I'm going to go in, kill to destroy. And that's kind of where mindset is a little bit. Like, I got to, once I go in, there is no feeling out. Like, I got to go in and make plays, you know, right away. Defensively, offensively, scoring, getting, you know, driving to the hoop, getting, in, you know, an assist or, you know, a good shot for somebody. That's got to be, like, for me, right away.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
We also know, if you're okay, 27 years old, seasoned enough that where if you get a role with younger players and you can step up as a leader, or something that maybe you didn't do as much before, or like you said, you weren't as much of a killer, you were a complimentary guy that was going to facilitate. Like, now you can see, like, okay, I got that. I'm going to step up in the other areas that maybe I didn't focus on before.
Right. And that's what I've been doing, is the fact that the matter is, you can be the facilitator and do all this all you want in this league, but if you're not putting the ball in the hoop, and if you're not shooting threes as a guard, your time is ticking. Unless you're Ben Simmons, who's 6'11".
You know what I was thinking of, actually? You look at...
I mean, 27. I mean, when you think about 27, you're thinking 27, oh, man, you know, it's, you know, you're an old vet. You know, it's 27, shit.
You're entering your prime, though, athletically.
Curry got on at 27. Mm-hmm. That's when he really got popping at 27.
There's a lot of...
Jimmy Butler. Like,
even Kyle Lowry's a little bit older when he got, you know, his, you know, everything. Like, so again, like I used to think that like that too. Like, damn, 26, now I'm 27. Like, you know, I'm getting older. Guys are younger than this. But if you go in, if you produce, and if you're producing at a rate where I'm not giving anybody else an option, then I can't lose. And that's where my mind is right now. Like, I'm going to go in there, and this 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid, it's not going to step on the floor over me if I'm that good. Mm-hmm. If I'm that good enough, and the gap has to be big.
Big, yes.
It can't be a small gap or a little. It's got to be a big gap to where it's like, look, I can't. I know you're only 18, 19, but I can't take this dude off the floor. He's killing in every aspect.
But also, you in that situation, you come from a place of poise and confidence and experience. That's what the advantage that you have on them, right? Fresh legs, young legs, that's cool. But, you know, in pressure moments or if a team needs to rely on you, I'd go to the established guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, people who want to win versus owners who are just...
Right.
Rebuild, know, or rebuild, go young or whatever.
Rebuild, yeah. Like, you know, it's like, I'd rather... You know, that's why Dennis Smith Jr. got traded. I'd rather, you know, even though you're young too, but, you know, you sharing the ball with Luka is kind of... It's not hurting Luka, but he's not getting as many touches as I want him to. So I'm going to get rid of you so he can have all the touches. Right.
And Luka made him expendable as well. They would have had to pay Dennis before that, because he was, you know, he would have come up on a contract before that too. So yeah, I mean, it's
1 year earlier.
Right, you know, 1 year. Yeah. But it's fit too, and I think that's the thing. Control what you can control. You can't control where you are, where you end up, right?
Right.
unless it's a case where like you have options, you know, and you sign with the team that you want because you think that's the best fit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. You know, it's I always tell the story that I remember when, you know, Jamal Crawford, you know, he's been bouncing around, I mean, killing everywhere he went, got the Don Nelson. He's probably the only person that don't like Don. And he was basically saying how Don didn't like him. Don wanted to buy him out and he should retire because, you know, he ain't no good. You know, this is, the kid is only 26 at the time. You know, he's sitting there talking about buying me out and, you know, I ain't worth shit. He don't like the way I play. And I'm like, damn, mother, you just had 50 last year at the end of the season, 50 on this. And then I said, man, look, do you fuck him? You know, do you fuck him? If he wants to trade you, let him trade you. But you go out there and just let that shit fly. Don't sit there and be a, you know, some assist. Because, you know, they had a rule, if you shoot better than 32% from the three, you can take any three you want. It was like a rule Don Nelson had. So he's basically saying everybody else can go out there and let that motherfucker fly besides you. I said, man, fuck what he talking about. Yeah. Sure enough, a week later, he scores 50.
Sometimes it's not you, it's them.
And it, like, I've never been a part of a league full of a bunch, like, full of people that, like, one day you could be this person and the next day you could be that person. Like, you could have a whole, like, you could have a whole, I could have a, like, my name right now in the NBA is, had a great rookie year, has been horrible ever since. I could come out next year and have this great year and been, oh, MCW, back to his rookie year, this, this, and that. Like, within, I could have 3 games of having 30. In 3 games, my whole persona changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like that in this league. And people come in, they don't realize that. Like, they don't realize that you can, as bad as it is, as you can fall off for 1 year and people can give up on you, it's as good if you come in and kill for 5 games and now you're this, this, and that.
Just like you said, when you get that shot again, that you know you're not going to miss it, right?
Right, exactly.
All you do is just talk. I learned this. This was my second All-Star. I'm averaging 29-6-4. I'm fourth in scoring, right behind Kobe, LeBron, Allen Iverson, and it's me. My team is fifth in the East. They left me off the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Talking about, oh, you know, we're rewarding winning. Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm fifth. What are you talking about? Like, I'm so they went, they're going to go to first, second, third score, skip me, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, then they had Paul Pierce on their team was 13th.
Right.
Then they had Bosch, and his team was last. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Team is winning. And then Jermaine O'Neal got suspended, right? So I was hot. I was hot. Every Eastern Conference coach was getting it. So I came out and said, I'm the East Coast assassin. There's no East Coast team safe while I'm playing. I said, none of them. At the All-Star break, man, I'm averaging 28. Thinking about, oh my God, he's killing them. He is nice. He's living up to his word. I was like, y'all some fucking idiots. And then that's when I just started talking trash. And then I started realizing the more you talk, if you just do anything close to it, everyone's like, yeah, look at him. He's the East Coast assassin, Hibachi. And that's where all that came from.
Right.
Before, I was just quiet and just went out there. I was like Dame Lin, just go out there and just fucking play basketball. Right. And as soon as I just start doing this and scoring, then it becomes, oh my God, he's on a cover of this, he's on a cover of that. And it's like, oh, you guys are morons.
Right.
You guys, just words. Just fucking words, man. Yeah, you tell him you're going to do something, you get close to it. Oh my God, he did it. Like, that's what I like about ball. LeVar ball.
I was going to say that. I was going to say, yeah. LeVar. It's almost like the Lonzo and LeVar ball situation where LeVar can say anything he wants about Lonzo, but then it also helps Lonzo in a way because then any little thing he does good, it's no longer this big. It's
magnified.
It's magnified.
That's what I said. If Zoe had his father's personality, oh, he'd have been big.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because
that's the thing about him. He does.
11-7 with your father's mouth. Oh my God, you could have been a superhero. You know, yeah. Look what I'm doing as a rookie, and then you just name all these fake stats and all that stuff is.
Right. But really, what you touched on is understanding how it works, how the machine works, which a lot of guys come into the league, they don't see it like that. Yeah. You figured it out.
You know, I mean, you know, so I've seen so many young kids that had talent that just, you know, lose. you know, just not knowing what game to play, not knowing who, you know, who to shake hands with. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, you come in like, yo, I just want to play basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, all this other stuff, this yeah. political stuff, I don't want nothing a part of it. I just want to go out, play ball. You know, like, you know, what Kevin Durant does with the media. If that was a young kid, oh, he'd be getting murdered.
He wasn't that way when he was a young kid. That's
no,
the thing about
same,
him.
Thing with same thing with LeBron. You right. know, LeBron, they all played a certain part until they got too big.
Yeah.
Too big. I mean, but think about who they are now for them to do what they're doing. So that means they wasn't comfortable just being LeBron and KD this whole time. For them to say, you know what, I don't like what y'all talking mm-hmm. about. You know, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, before they wasn't going to do that.
Well, you think about it, you deal with some bullshit, and really every player does at some level. KD, remember he was we all loved him. He was a kid with a backpack in the press conference and all that. And then, you know, obviously goes to Golden State, and I think that stirs up some controversy. He's like, why am I dealing with this nonsense all the time? So it gives him that edge.
But look at somebody like Russ, right? You would think in today's sports that a man who averaged 3 straight triple doubles would be above life. But he's just Russell in OKC. You know, he says what he wants, he does what he wants. But because of who he is and how he carries himself, the media just shuts him out. And they put every other basketball player in front of him.
Right.
You know, but look how talented he has to be, and he still gets shunned upon. So imagine if you're a rookie coming in, you know, doing this, or, you know, a young kid trying to find his way, how easy you can just get forgotten about, you know.
But you don't see Russ do a lot of sit-down interviews. You don't see a lot of – you see all of, like, his image, you know, obviously with what he does, fashion and things like that.
But I'm just saying, come on.
Yeah, like for instance, say Russ was doing that with the Lakers. Same team, just switch jerseys. I think that, like, media gravitates more towards him because he plays in L.A., mm-hmm. Like a big market. And you see it, like, time and time again, right? Like, for example, good player, Jordan Clarkson, right? Whatever Jordan Clarkson did good in L.A., it was magnified, blown up, this and that. And now he goes and does good things in Cleveland?
You didn't even know about it.
We didn't see it.
I forgot.
You won't ever see it. You won't know about it. That's not his fault. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's the way that the NBA is good for the Lakers to have publicity. So we're going to – whatever anybody does good for the Lakers, we're going to blow up.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody can handle that, though, to be in a big market.
Yeah, and it hurts you because then you do certain things with the Lakers jersey on. And it gets you know, blown up, and then you go somewhere else, and you're like, dang, how come I ain't getting this love like how
I
was?
I just did this. Like, I just did it. You know.
I mean, look at Jeremy Lin. Lin's sanity in New York was probably the biggest thing that happened in the Knicks.
And I'm surprised he still kept it together to still be in the league. You know, I'm serious. I mean, he was so high that if someone said, oh, Jeremy ain't been in the league in 4 years, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But the fact that he's still going and still mm-hmm. ticking after the big drop because he went to Houston, didn't have a great year.
Well, the Knicks had a decision to make. That's when they had Melo, too, and it was kind of like...
Yeah, Melo used his power over there.
Yeah.
He didn't want that competition on media. I mean, on
share the spotlight.
Yeah, he didn't want to share.
But, like, so now you're in New York, and he's not going to be an option to stay there. And then anywhere else you go, except for maybe LA, is going to be a downshift. So Houston, he didn't have that. I mean, they have the attention in China.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought that he would have been big in Houston, you know, with the Asian community mm-hmm. there.
And he has some injuries too. But that kind of shows you, like, things can happen so fast, almost like faster than you'd imagine. And then it's how do you kind of stay there or deal with the roller coaster.
It's one of those things is when you were saying you were doing a lot of reading, trying to figure out what I said. You're 27 right now. Focus, watch tape on, you know, if everyone says your rookie season is your best season, watch it. See what they see, you know, because for the most part, people just look at numbers, right? Because I remember my 1 year average 29, which was my better year, but I was getting more praise the next year when I was averaging 28 and my numbers were down.
Yeah.
You know, it's what am I doing better here? I know I was hitting more game winners here and was more efficient at the end than I was this year. You know, it's you might just want to watch your rookie season, and that's what you should do now is just watch your games and see what you did that has people saying, okay, this is. Then watch last year or the following year. And then you can compare, you know, the two. Yep. And then you can be like, okay, yeah, I can see. I'm not as aggressive here doing this than I was here. Right. And then you can make your own comparison. So you can tell yourself how to build and when to build. You know, instead of just listening to somebody and say, oh, yeah, he was better his rookie season, then he's been shit ever since. It's like, oh, okay. Like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Right.
You know, so, you know, I used to watch a lot of game tape. I just watch on how, you know, a defense supposed to play defense, you know, what the big man's supposed to do on rotations. That's all I watched for. I watched on how you supposed to move, like, what was your defensive schemes? Like, if I go here, what were you supposed to do?
Yeah,
so now I know, as soon as you hit a shift, I know when to go.
Right.
And then if I go, I know what the back line's supposed to do. You know, and
absolutely,
then I just practice my offense on just defensive schemes. You know, so my offense wasn't built for, you know, just like a James Harden where I'm just worrying about it. My offense is built on how defense supposed to react, you know. Yeah. You know, if I go below the free throw line, you're supposed to jump on my high hip. Okay. If he jumps here, then I know what to do now.
What to do next, yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, that's what I say. You just, you know, right now, this is the time where you just, you know, study the game more. And when you really focus on basketball and study it, it becomes easier. You know, it's, you know, I wasn't highly recruited. I think 99 my senior year, you know, 31st pick, set the bench, condemned in the first 40 games. And then I just started watching the game different. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I got on the court, double-double. And then rookie of the month. And then my next year, took off. And then I wasn't a high flyer. You know, I just had speed. I was stronger than most of all the guards besides probably Jason Kidd. And then I can shoot the shit out of the ball. You know, but from there, it's just, I made it simple. You know, I just started watching how the game's supposed to have been played. All right. If we're in a penalty, I can play crazier because I know they can't touch me now. You know, and you just start breaking it down like that. Then it becomes easy. Now you're averaging 20 and you're like, oh, this is right. Simple. Like, that's why I said, like, you know, where James Harden is, it's so simple now that he's simplified the game to the point where it's so boring to everyone else.
Yeah, like figured it out.
Yeah,
and the game slows down, right? That's the thing. You want to get to a place of confidence where you can find those loopholes and advantages and hacks to where, you know, you can dominate in your own way.
And then once you start doing you, I mean, eventually a coach is adjust, because at the end of the day, a great coach is only a great coach because of players. Yeah. You know, I've never seen a great coach make a bad player great.
Yeah.
You know, it's great players, and you're just coaching great players, you know. Sorry, Phil, but just being honest.
No, yeah. Hey.
And you also get to a place, I think, when you can have injury or like in your situation right now where you have time to focus on details that you can't focus on when you're on the grind of the season and travel and all that stuff. So you use that to your advantage.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's something that this is my first summer where I'm like, first time where I'm like off and I'm not injured. Like I've had.
That's so.
Like for my summers, I've had shoulder surgery one summer. I had two shoulder surgeries, one on this side and one on this side. So that was two of my summers. I had hip surgery one summer. So I've had like, something on one of my knees. Like I haven't had like a summer where I could just dig into, you know, what my body is fully capable of without having to go to rehab or being precautious on this day, being precautious on that day. Like it's the first time I can just go and just do me and figure out, like, really dive into like what I like and what I don't like in terms of like shots on the floor or, you know, what move do I really need to work on? Like when I go right, does it feel as the same as I go left? Like just getting into my mind about my basketball game has been something that I've been able to do because now I'm not focused on, I got to get my knee right. I got to get my shoulder, my hip.
Never had a chance to improve because you've been, you know, sitting there, you know, working on an injury. And I think that's what happened with Derrick Rose.
That was the guy I was going to touch on.
You know, that, you know, he was, you know, once he got hurt, you know, every summer, you know, he's rehabbing an injury instead of trying to build his skill. Right. And then you got like 2-3 years ago as he finally goes into a summer not injured. So now he gets to see, okay, wait, hold on. Woo. Haven't been here in a while.
Right.
What am I supposed to do?
But he did use that time to change his game, because when young D. Rose, MVP D. Rose, was jump out of the gym, elevate on you, explosive. Right. And now you see him, he uses that change of direction, that shiftiness that he has. He's not going to elevate on everybody, but he can still finish around the rim.
Yeah, I mean, he was always crafty. I mean, the thing with D. Rose is he didn't know how to, once he exploded up, he didn't know how to land. It's like he was like a rocket when he jumped. You know, it's just he went up crazy, came down crazy. Yeah. You know, it's just that was just how he played the game. Yeah. You know, but it's good to see how, you know, time, and I guarantee he probably wanted to retire 4 years ago. Yeah. You know, and it's now look at him. I mean, you
never know what can happen with him now. Yeah, he's
you got killing. 6-7 more years in him now. Yeah. It's like now he found it's like his rookie season all over again.
That's the thing you figure out. And even think of like as you age, a guy like Russ, who's extremely athletic, like that's gonna decline at some point. We're seeing that with LeBron right now. The athleticism declines. You use your technique and skill.
Yeah, I mean his up and down. You know his up and down. You're talking about guys whose explosion is 200% more than everybody else's. You know, when they decline, you know, 100%, they're still, they're still above everyone else. Yeah.
Like LeBron's still going to the hole, dunking on. You know, it's like he's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we know he's declining, but, you know, when you're in fast-paced mode, that decline doesn't really show as much because he's still so far above everyone else.
Yeah, and I honestly think like his mental right too, because once you like have that many, like for example, my little brother, he goes to Creighton. He's going through it kind of now where he has a broken hand, but he's still playing, and he's so mad at himself because his game is not as good as it is beforehand. That like he's so worried about the injury that his mind is telling him to do things, but his body just not letting him. And that will drive you nuts. It drove me nuts with my shoulders and my knee and my hip. It's like, I know what I need to do up here, but my body's just not letting me do it. So, like, you get caught up in that frustration, you lose sight of everything else. And I think, similar to D. Rose, right, he's probably rehabbing his knee, his ankle, like, and he's probably getting so caught up in, like, man, I used to be able to take two dribbles from half court and catch a windmill on somebody. And now, and in his mind, is when he's playing, is telling him to, you know, instinctually to do that, but his body's like, oh, slow down, like, we can't do that right now. And I think now since he's healthy, now his mind's starting to catch up with him a little bit, as in like, okay, like now when I do that, I can go left and quick cross right and jump to the rim and reverse layup. You know what I mean? Like his mind and his body is finally equaling up to each other, that like he's taking off.
And when he was younger, he might have just go baseline and explode up, and now he sees I can use this hesitation to get the big in the air and then go around him.
So right.
Still be effective. It's just using
and slow. Yeah, he's slowing down.
Right.
What's so funny is I want to see what he looks like next year.
What? Huh? What do you think is going to be different?
Might be more explosive. Because, you know, it's baby steps. You know what I mean? You're talking about somebody who was really explosive, had to go all the way back to zero. And then you got to remember, every year he goes into that summer and he don't have to deal with the injury, just gives him – that just boosts his confidence.
Right.
You know, that just boosts a man's confidence. Like, yo, I didn't have to rehab this all summer.
He'll be 31 next year, so a little older too. But, you know, we were talking about fit and places that you are. I mean, when he was on the way out of Chicago, probably not a great time in the organization. Like, they were looking to blow it up. And then he takes a lesser role. I mean, he went to Cleveland. That wasn't really the place for him. Maybe he wasn't ready at that time to be where he is now. Then he went to Utah, remember last year, and he went to Utah.
Right. Yeah. And another thing you said, like, he's 31, right? Like, I think when you're in the NBA, and Derrick Rose has had a lot of time off, that, you know, the NBA plays a wear and tear on your body like crazy. Like, if you're playing solid, like, every single year, 82 games or 75-plus games, like, that's going to take a toll on your body come year 9, 10, 11, no matter who you are. So he gets those years where he's just laying up, you know, fixing healthy. Like, is he a 31-year-old NBA player? I don't know. Like, he's had a bunch of rest. Like,
he doesn't have those miles.
You know what
on.
I mean? Like, for myself, these past years, I haven't got like, I've sat out a lot of games, but am I a 27-year-old with a 27-year-old wear and tear on my body in the NBA? I don't think so. Like, I think myself, I've had those times where I haven't played a lot, average 10 minutes, 12 minutes, sat X amount of games, been injured, been out. I think, like, I got – my body feels as though I haven't played 6 years, mm-hmm. 5.5 years in the NBA. You know, I think that's a part of Derrick Rose too, right? Like, he hasn't played as many games as an average 31-year-old probably in the NBA who's been in the league as long as he has.
Yeah, I remember my 25, I was like, woo! I feel like I'm 29.
Right.
I was playing about, I think, 42 minutes 1 year?
Right, 42 minutes 42, a game.
42, 43. I remember I was like, it was like me and Allen Iverson.
That was a different era, too. So Iverson like wouldn't want to come out of a game and need the minutes restriction was unimaginable. It was the same way for you, right?
Like yeah.
You just want to play.
Just want to play. I mean, I didn't care about getting subbed out. It's just, coach didn't do it. I mean, you know, at that point, you got to remember, at that point, you only have one and a half stars on most of these teams. So you didn't have a luxury to, you know, sub your star out and hold him for 5-6 minutes. You know, mm-hmm. if you had a lead, that lead's gone. If you was right there, they done took a 10-15 point lead on you. You know, so coaches really wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, Philly had, when Iverson went to the bench, it was, can we hold it down for like 2 minutes while he gets a break, right? And like, get him in between corners or whatever.
It was like LeBron in the playoffs versus Golden State.
Yeah.
You know, you got to manage them timeouts, right, baby?
Right. Hopefully there's a delay at halftime or something like that. But the other thing, you know, you talk about where you are career-wise and age-wise and all that, is that you want to offer maturity and understanding the lifestyle, what it is off the court. And, you know, we were talking about where Gil was too. And that's not something that guys figure out right away. And I don't know who can kind of bring you through that. Is there other veterans or mentors, or does everybody kind of need a mentor?
You know, it's tough because when I was in Philly, we didn't have, like, I mean, Jay Rich was on the team, but he wasn't, like, traveling with us. He wasn't, like, you know, he was there. Like, I spoke to him. He gave me great advice when I was there. I'll definitely thank him forever. But, like, somebody who was playing, who was a veteran, to teach, you know, me the ways and to teach me how to put in work, you know, what it really means to put in work, is something that when I got to the league, I never had. And, you know, we didn't have that many vets. We had guys that were, you know, 23, 24 years old, like, you know, the Evan Turners and, you know, we had Thad Young, you know, guys who were, you know, not, they're veterans, but not really, haven't mm-hmm. been there as long as, you know, they probably are now. So I think it's very important. Like, if I had that knowledge when I was, you know, a rookie, for taking care of my body, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, you know, treatment wasn't like, it was an obligation for me. It wasn't like I want to go and get treatment. You know, my career, I hated going to get treatment. I hated doing all the, you know, doing all that stuff. And if I knew what it, you know, what it did for me back then, I would have do what I do now in the past, you know, year. Mm-hmm. So I think it is important to have those guys, you know, around who can really teach young, you know, young kids the way, because it definitely plays a toll on them, you know, going forward.
You know, it's funny. Me and Jay Rich was rookies together. We trained, same agent, we trained. our veterans was some nuts. They were crazy as shit. So we used to just, you know, bounce off each other, me, him, and Troy. So we used to go in early in the morning and we would get like 1,000 shots up. Like, we were like piggybacking each other, like, yo, you don't need to buy that car. Like, you don't need to compete with him. Yeah. You know, because I remember when Jay Rich did this. He seen Ventigo Cummins pull up with an S550. It was S500?
S550, yeah.
He's like, man, I'm number five pick, number four pick. Shit, if he got one, I can get one. Like, nah, don't do that. Don't go down that route. That's, you know, we're not even going to go down that route. We ain't in here for competition. Right. And then from there, it's like, that's when we became cool, and we just, you know, we just bounced off each other, just worked and worked and worked, and that's all we knew. You know, so, you know, to hear him, you know, say he was with you over there is cool.
Yeah, Jay was my guy. He definitely is a real one, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Bad knees ass nigga.
You know, that expression I thought of was, if you knew then what you know now, right? Like, that's always
the beauty of hindsight. Yeah, you know, the whole thing is, you know, you know, NBA players, you know, you got so much money at the wrong point in your career. You get all this money when you're young, when you think you know everything and you don't know nothing at all.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, once you get to, you know, 27, 8, 9, 30, you're like, dang, if I really, really, you know, I could have saved a couple of injuries if I'd have did this at 20 and 21 instead of, you know, but it's just the way life is, you know.
Absolutely. You definitely learn more as you grow older. Yeah.
It's a learning experience everywhere you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is good. We learned a lot. I know you're probably in a different place now, too. You know, got a chance to talk a bit. And, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you back in action and where you're going to go next.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, too, more than anybody.
You're going to be at the Sports Center the whole summer?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Okay. I'll be out, you know, once I start training, I'll be up there.
Cool.
I'm training for the big three. You know, that's easy work for me, you know. Bunch of old out of shape ass.
They changed the age. It's 27 now.
I know. Bunch of old out of shape ass basketball players. Nah, you ain't ready for the big three yet.
Nah, I ain't ready for all that actually.
That's prison basketball, right?
Well, you should get paid for that versus going to sports academy.
Nah, that's prison basketball though. He's like, nah, this is a certain type of basketball. That's 80s basketball.
That's taken all the way back
to prison rules. Mm-hmm.